Tonight's net is a directed net. What that means, we've got quite a few new hams in the area. So what I wanted to talk about on that real quick is, I don't know how many of you have heard of Skywarn net. Things got kind of quiet after the first couple of months this year. So on a directed net, you will give out your call sign and then be way too big knowledge by net control. I know tonight's not the standard preamble, but like I said, we've got a lot of new guys. Again, if you have emergency or priority traffic, use the pro sign, break, break, and wait to be acknowledged by net control. At this point in time, do I have any stations with priority traffic? Okay, nothing heard. Guys, tonight I want to try and get through this as quick as possible. I'd like to be in front of the TV by 9 o'clock for obvious reasons. So don't be afraid to ask any questions, though. That's more important to me. But I would like to kind of, you know, keep it kind of tight tonight. At this point in time, I'm looking for any Denton County Aries liaison stations or the assistant emergency coordinator. Please check in at this time.
This is Kilo Echo 5, Mike Zulu, Tango, Sarah Ann, Red Cross.
Alrighty, I acknowledge KC5MPX and KE5MZT. Thanks for checking into the net tonight, guys. Last call for the assistant emergency coordinator or any liaisons. Okay, nothing heard. I'm going to open the net to check-ins at this time. Please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by net control. If you don't think I picked you up, please wait until I go through the roster before you chime in again. Sometimes it winds up putting duplicates in my log. So at this point in time, I'm open to all stations checking in. Please give your call sign phonetically. Okay, I had a pretty good double with that last one. So let me go through the roster real quick. I have Kilo Golf 5, Hotel Kilo, Kilo Charlie 5, India Bravo November, Kilo Charlie 0 Lima, Kilo Golf 5, Bravo Zulu India. There was a station with the name Tyler. Please give your call sign phonetically.
This is Kilo Golf 5, Delta India Mike. Tyler.
Okay, thank you, Tyler. Then I had a station that doubled with Tyler. Will that station please go?
Alpha Foxtrot 5, Romeo Zulu, Andrew.
Okay, got you, Andrew. Thank you. Additional stations wishing to check in at the net, please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by net control.
Juliet, Jeff. Whiskey Bravo 6, Victor X-ray Kilo, Doug.
Golf 5, India Bravo, November, Ron.
Okay, I had another one of those doubles that was kind of rough. Kilo Golf 5, Kilo Alpha Julia, WB6 VXK, and Kilo Golf 5, India Bravo November. Additional stations wishing to check in the net, please give your call sign phonetically at this time.
Whiskey 5, Mike Charlie November, Corey.
Okay, I got W5MCN, station ending in Golf Whiskey Alpha. I need your full call sign.
This is Whiskey 5, Golf Whiskey Alpha, Gordon.
Okay, gotcha, Gordon. Paul, I need your call sign.
Aries Net.
Hilo Foxtrot 5, Sierra Uniform Whiskey, Paul.
Okay, W5MCN, W5 Golf Whiskey Alpha, and KF5 Sierra Whiskey Yankee. Sorry, let me try that one again. Kilo Foxtrot 5 Sierra Yankee Whiskey. There we go. Additional stations wishing to check in the net this time, please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by net control. Okay, I got Scott, KF5KBN. Last call for stations at this time.
KG5KAV, Rob.
Kilo 5, Whiskey X-ray Romeo, Lee.
Kilo 8, Juliet Romeo Bravo, James.
Alrighty, I got Kilo Golf 5, Kilo Alpha Victor, Kilo 5 Whiskey X-Ray Romeo, and Kilo 8 Juliet Romeo Bravo. This is Kilo Charlie 5, Golf Oscar India, KC5GOI, Net Control, Denton County, Aries Training Net. Okay, the first thing I wanted to mention tonight was last month, at the tail end of the month, we did a active shooter simulation with the City of Argyle. That was an excellent training ground for a lot of the things that law enforcement's going to go through on a multiple response sort of a event. And one of the things that we did in amateur radio was, yet again, we proved what it is we're capable of doing. We had, at the start, the transportation officer, we had two stations assigned to him because we were sending traffic to five hospitals, okay? And that's the highest hospital count we've ever sent before. And this was one of the higher amounts of traffic that we would be relaying also. It was close to the same number as we did with the City of Denton the month before. At the very beginning, the transportation officer, and I'm not throwing him under the bus, guys. This is one of those events where the transportation officer may not be aware of what amateur radio is or what it can do. So we kind of had to prove ourselves a little bit. At the very beginning, when I introduced the transportation officer to the two operators that were assigned to him, he said, well, I don't need them. I've got my cell phone. And so I says, okay, well, they're here for you backup in case something happens. And he was like, okay, you know, I think he really thought, well, I don't have time to mess with this. We'll just deal with it, and I'll let these guys hang out. Well, then about 5, maybe 10 minutes of the traffic coming in, which would be he's got the people that he needs to transport to the specific hospitals. It was like, whoa, wait, I can't do this one by myself. He immediately went to the two operators that were assigned to him, and he actually tasked them out with some specific tasks in addition to their communications responsibilities. And guys, that can happen. Remember that our primary role to be there is communications, but you may have a few items added on to that that's part of the communications role, even though it may not seem that way on the surface. So we processed over 50 patients in between the five hospitals, and it was quite a bit of load. These two operators, it was feast or famine, and when it was feast, it was a lot. Okay, it makes Thanksgiving dinner look like a snack sort of a deal. But the operators were able to relay all their traffic through the 9-2 repeater and the 517 without incident. It allowed the hospitals to plan out what they were fixing to receive so they could be staged, and that improves their response. Then we also found out when vehicles were released, so if they had to come back to the scene, the transportation officer had an idea of what resources were starting to return to him. I did not stage us out for this event because I knew based off most of the people that had volunteered, there was only like two of us that have windling capability, and that's a little bit of a problem. We really need to be encouraging you to get more involved in windling. And I'm gonna talk about what it used to be cost-wise and all that and where it is now in just a few minutes. One of the things that you might have to do is send, I'm going to call it semi-secured, okay? Though I don't want you to think that we're trying to go out of our way to violate Part 97 and obfuscate traffic. We're not allowed to do that. But with WinLink, unless somebody has equipment that's readily available, you can't exactly look into it. So if for some reason you had to have a name passed, okay, we want to make that a little more difficult to be picked up. It's not something that you really want to have go over the air. So let me put it into perspective for you for just a moment. Say you were involved in some sort of an incident. Would you want your name going out over the clear on any amateur radio frequency, including a phonetic spelling? Would you really want that? Personally, I know why I wouldn't. Okay, for those of you that work in the IT field or the medical field, you're immediately saying, Guy, that's a HIPAA violation. And you know what? You are right. Now, we did do a test, and the hospital failed. But that was part of the simulation to find out where these things went. The initial request, though, was, can X Hospital send us over WinLink a patient name? We did not trick ourselves out with the materials needed to do WinLink that day. The stations at the hospitals didn't have it. I didn't request them to do it. Only N5IKD could have done it. The rest of the stations do not have WinLink capability. And that, again, is where we're a little short. Well, we could have done it in Goliath if we had the, we do have the equipment that we need in Goliath. So we could have received it. We could have even sent a request. But we did not have WinLink or MBEM set up that day. It just was not in the deck of cards. So I'm not trying to belittle any of the volunteers, okay? There's still quite a bit of stuff that we're going to do voice, but there are other times that we really need to be doing things in a digital format, and that's what I want to talk about tonight with WinLink. Okay, I do see some call signs on here that I believe do have WinLink. Matter of fact, I know Andrew does, AF5RZ. I know I do. I'm not sure about Sarah Ann, but I know there are other operators that do have it, okay? So what I want you to think of WinLink, because packet radio, and this is packet radio, has kind of gone in peaks and valleys of activity over the close to 35, almost 40 years that packet radio has been around. It really started in the 80s. It's gone through things like JNOS, which still exists, TNOS, which still exists, but I'm not sure how well supported it is anymore, Rose Network, and things like TextNet. For those of you guys that have KC5 calls or have been around at least as long as I have, might know what those items were, and some of them still exist, but they're not really being used. I've heard chatter on various podcasts, well, packet radio's dead. No, packet radio's not dead. Have you anybody heard of APRS? That's packet radio. Now, Winlink has a couple of abilities. It's not limited to just VHF, UHF type of communications. You can use Winlink to do things over HF as well, and that's where it got its primary start. Okay, if you've done any looking into it, you've seen the SCS modems, and it's like, guy, that modem costs as much or more than my HF rig. Yeah, it does. But on HF, and I don't expect everybody to really jump into doing the HF thing. It's something you really got to want to do. The SCS modems have, unfortunately, it is a, even though you can buy the modems, the methodology that they're doing the encoding is not open source. So it's not like anybody can build for this particular PAC-TOR type of modem. It's just not there. You got to buy their modem. That's how they make their money.
ArriesNet.
KC5GO on net control, Denton County Aries Training Net. Now, it is a kind of a, to me, it's a capital expense, but if we need to do Winlink type stuff over HF, the county has the equipment to do it, and we want to be able to train volunteers to use it. It's not really that much different than packet radio type stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight, because that will be the bulk of our local type traffic. So, you've heard me talk about APRS in the past, and I've made mention of how expensive GPS receivers used to be about 20 years ago. You'd have this kind of sort of okay GPS receiver that it didn't take much to cause the view to be obscured, and it didn't receive real well, and the thing was $300, $400, $500, and it kind of got in the way. TNCs back then, even today, if you look at, I really like the KPC3, guys, don't get me wrong, but if you look at a KPC3 or the MFJ full-blown TNCs, you're still looking at new $180 to $200. That, compared to some other options today, is some significant money. Okay. Today we live in an amateur radio environment where radio equipment's really gotten cheaper and cheaper. And yes, I know about the Beifongs and the Wooksongs, and I know about the mobile radios that they build as well, and that's okay. Those are cheaper than a Kenwood, an Icom, a Yaesu mobile radio. But we operate in an environment today where you can get a 50 to 75 watt radio from the big manufacturers and the Chinese versions for less than $200. And I'm not talking about a sale price, guys. Take a look at the pricing on these mobile radios, okay? Now, you don't necessarily have to use a mobile radio. It is a lot more, it's a lot more kit to carry. It does consume more power. You can do this with packet radio as well. I mean, on a handy talkie as well. I have in the past used things like the Kenwood the D7A handy talkie. The D72 can do it. You can interface by making cables to any handy talkie. I've used an HTX 202 Radio Shack rig, and I just dated myself, to do packet radio when I was doing JNOS stuff, okay? If you have a Kenwood D700, a D710, something like that, there's an Elenco radio. They have TNCs built into them. You can use those as well. The handy talkies are a little bit more limited. I wish Yaesu would let you get to the TNCs and like the VX8 radios or even the FT400, but they don't. They strictly did them for APRS use. They'd be so handy to be able to use that TNC, but you can't get to it. But look at TNCX. MFJ's got one. I know that John Hansen makes one as well. If you have the newer TinyTrack 4, you're already there as well. And these are $50 TNCs. These aren't the $160 to $200 TNCs that we've been using for years. And they work quite well. There's nothing wrong with using them. They're nice, small packages. They use a USB driver that's in Windows. I believe it's in the Mac, and you can do it in Linux as well. Now, I need to step back for a second. The WinLink software, RMS Express, is only Windows-based. So, guys, if you're running Linux or Mac, you're going to have to, you can either try and get Wine to do it, or you're going to need to run a virtual machine. So, and I'll leave that. That's outside the scope tonight. One of the things that's evolved about all this over the years is I remember when we were doing packet radio and we had TextNet, and you had to know how to format certain messages. Was it email? Not like we know it today. Or not like email's been for pretty much forever. So you had specific message formats, and you kind of had to know some routing, and that was a thing with TextNet. JNOS was a little bit more intelligent. It was more email-based, but it wasn't like Outlook, Outlook Express, Thunderbird, or whatever your favorite client is. It was command-line-based, but it still worked. It was email, and you had stations that connected to the Internet. Okay. But it still wasn't the most intuitive thing in the world. Once you learned it, you had it, but it wasn't for everybody. Then in the early 2000s, something came along that was called Outpost. Well, Outpost was kind of cool. Outpost was kind of email, but it wasn't exactly email, and its biggest limitation was you couldn't add attachments, okay? So is that a problem? Sure could be. So I don't know exactly how long WinLink's been around now. I want to say it's pushing the 10-year mark. And originally when it started out, it was HF only, and you had to have a general class license because of where the gateway stations were, but not anymore. There is software that if you are a technician class, even though you may have some HF privileges available to you, it's not where the gateways are. But on packet radio, using your TNCX or whatever it is you want to use, even if you want to use a sound card and go through the setup on that, and I'm more power to you on that, you can do this over VHF. KC5GOY Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. So, does this cost money as far as this software is concerned? The answer is no. They would like to have donations to help pay for their development time and web hosting costs and some stuff like that. It's up to you to make a donation, okay? I'm going to focus specifically on packet radio from this point forward. I'm not going to go into HF details tonight. So you download the software. It will run on XP, Windows Vista, 7, 8, and 10. I'm using Windows 10 now. Have been for a while. Runs just fine on Windows 10 if you've got that now. So don't worry, don't sweat it, okay? I've heard stories about Windows 10. They're overblown. The next thing you have to do, and this is free, is you go to winlink.org and you sign up, okay? Now, if you're a Mars member or you're contemplating being a Mars member, you'll have a separate account for Mars, okay? Military Auxiliary Radio Service for anybody that's asking about Mars. And what it'll be is your call sign at winlink.org. Okay, it is a legitimate, full-blown, full-usable email address. Works great. One of the things that they have done, you're going to ask me, well, if I'm doing this over radio, what about spam? Well, they are very, very strict about their spam filtering. What they do to keep the spam from getting in is you have to whitelist stations, and there's only one way to whitelist a station, and that would be, say you wanted to send something to kc5goi@gmail.com, okay, you would, from your WinLink address, send that email to me. Until you have sent that email to me, I can't send email to your WinLink address. That's how they whitelist it. That's how you get that quote-unquote approval. So that really cuts down on the chatter and the junk. I mean, I haven't seen any spam in my WinLink ever. It works really well, and it's not that hard to do. So if you're running a portable scenario, and one of the things I need to do, and I just haven't gotten around to doing it yet, and I just need to, is I've got a tablet. I'll plug it into my USB drive, and I'll hook it up to my KPC3 or my radio, whatever I want to do on. And I will, install WinLink. I'll say, hey, I got a TNC over on the serial port. It's talking at this baud rate. And then when you go to do connections, you have to be on the correct frequency for your area. Thankfully, we have a list on the club website for the stuff in the area, and you can go to a winlink.org website that shows a map of what's on which VHF and UHF frequencies. If you're interested in doing 9600 baud, there is support for doing 9600 baud over mostly UHF. So that even exists in our Metroplex area, okay? None of this, it's really not that hard. It's really not.
ArriesNet.
KC5GO iNet Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. You do, if you're going to use a digipeater, you do have to know a little bit about that. But one of the sweet things that's been done with the software is I've taken a lot of the guesswork out of it. If you just know what you need to do a digipete, and I'll explain that to you in just a second, it's a matter of putting in a call sign in the correct place, and then you use that to link in. If you don't know what a digipeater is, the best way I can equate it is a simplex repeater. A digipeater is still a full-blown TNC that has support to receive data over the air, and then once it's done, it repeats it back over the air. So it's not like the 9-2 repeater in that respect, where it transmits it at the same time it's coming in. It receives it, waits for the frequency to be clear, and then it passes it on. So a digipeater, from RMS Express standpoint, is think of it as a stepping stone crossing a creek, okay? Now, you don't want too many of these stepping stones on packet radio because it really starts to slow the work down. I mean, every time you digipete, you cut your throughput by half. So a good, decent signal, notice I didn't say strong, but a decent signal, if you can get there in one shot, that's preferred. If you have to use one digipeater, it's okay. If you have to use two, you've slowed it down, but it's still possible. But after that, they don't allow you to put any more in. By the time you get to the third, you're really asking for failure rates to go through the roof. But you could be on a handy-talkie positioned out in the field. You need to get to the digipeater that's halfway or on the other side of the county. I mean, not the digipeter, but the RMS Express Gateway. But if you got a digipeater close by that can make your signal louder, then there you go. Another thing that the digipeater gives you is if you're kind of noisy into the digipeater, well, that's okay. As long as it was viable packets, the digipeater will repeat it, and it's basically rebuilt. It's clean, and since there's checksum on it, the error, you know, is there's no errors in it. It'll say, hey, I heard this, I'm going to repeat it, and you get the advantage of the altitude and the digipeater's power. For those of you in APRS, it's the exact same construct. You send out a position report, the digipeater hears it and repeats it, okay? The majority of the RMS Express gateways are based off Windows-based computers, but I do know that this can be done on a Raspberry Pi. I just drew a blank on Mike's call sign. Mike Nelson has one running at his house on a Raspberry Pi. It's a project that I want to do. I just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. I have run my gateway through Windows, and that works fine. It's a dedicated Windows machine. It's on the internet, but I don't do anything else with it. It's behind a firewall. It's safe. I don't have to worry about it getting infected. So, a basic rundown of what you would do. You fire up your RMS Express software, and you got a message you want to send to somebody. And I'll talk about attachments in just a moment. If it's a Winlink address, you just put in the call sign. That's all you got to do. When you go to send it, the RMS Express system will say, hey, KC5GOI, it's going to be KC5GOI at winlink.org. Now, if you wanted to send something to KC5GOI at gmail.com, well, then you spell the whole email out, okay? But if it's somebody that has a Winlink address, you just put the call sign in there, whether it's Mars or ham radio call sign. Bingo. If you're going to be sending something to a hospital, county EOC, something like that, it's a full email address. So, you know, like Eric's Denton County email, you'd use that. It's an email. How hard could that be? Okay. Now, attachments are a little bit different. In this day where we've got nice, big, fat broadband pipes, we have Fios, we have DSL, cable, fiber. Some of you guys are probably on wireless internet service providers, hotspots, all kinds of decent bandwidth. Well, you got to still remember something. We have limitations on how fast we can send something over our frequencies. And until you get up to UHF, the speeds really don't start to get stellar. The majority of the RMS Express gateways are still operating. Get ready, guys. 1,200 baud. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not really 1,200 baud, because after you take some time involved and some other overhead, it's not that fast, okay? But when the data is being sent over the air, it's 1,200 baud, but you get this other overhead that slows it down. So where does that impact your attachments? You have to be intelligent about your attachments, guys. Number one, don't use Microsoft Word. Don't use LibreOffice Writer. Don't be using those programs. You need the files to be as slim, as tight as possible. That also means don't use Excel. So I'm going to give you an example of something that you can do to test this out. You know, I want you to test it out, okay? But I know what's going to happen. Take yourself an Excel sheet, and you're going to take, say, five columns. Put in each column something. Then save it. Then look at your file size. Then export it as a comma-separated value file. Look at your file size. Did it get smaller? Yes. Is it still full of bloat? Well, if you look at both of those files in Notepad, it is insanely full of bloat. Okay, the Excel file. Your CSV file is going to be much, much slimmer, and that's what's important. For text documents, you want to use something like Notepad or WordPad. The recommendation in the Windows environment is to use WordPad. There is limited support for templates like the ICS 213. But if you were to edit an ICS 213 in Word or LibreOffice Writer or OpenOffice Writer, it's going to throw in a bunch of bloat. And that bunch of bloat adds to the file size, and it's going to take longer to send. Another way around this, but it's being slow to take effect, is to use FLMessage. FLMessage can be run as a standalone application. It's not something that only works with FLDigi. FLMessage makes them even tighter, smaller, compact, really nice, okay? Now, it gets tricky with comma-separated value files because you want to format your sheets in a specific way, and CSV files don't do that hot. But FLMessage has specific forms, like a 213, a 205, a 214, sorry, and some other miscellaneous forms in there. And it can make this nice little bitty file. I mean, you're talking tens of bytes, not tens of K, okay? To where the overhead takes longer for the packet stuff to finish up than it does to actually send the payload, okay? But all your information that you need is still there. We will be doing MBAMs, which includes FLDigi and FLMessage as an EOC-type thing. I'm looking at sometime in August. But anyway, the whole idea is document reduction. You want to make it as small as possible. If you need to send a picture, You can use that as an attachment as well, okay? But you need to reduce the picture down as much as possible. File size limitation, get ready, guys, 112K. Okay, on packet radio, yes, you can send something that's 100K. It's going to take a little while. I'll tell you that right now. It's going to take a little while. But it'll get done if you leave it alone, okay? On HF, the speeds are slower. For most of us, if we're doing anything over HF, we're going to be using sound card mode. And that is going to be a signal link or a rig blaster. You cannot use push-to-talk microphones like you can with NBAMs to do WinLink. The timing is too tight between transmit and receive. You've got to use a sound card interface on HF. But the file size limitation came about because how long it's going to take to send something over HF as well. That's why document and image reduction is so important. But you still can get it there, even with some formatting. Just need to be mindful of your document sizes. If you can, zip it. Zip the file up, okay? Make it as tight as you can, because that'll get you on the air, transmitted, and off the air quicker than if you didn't zip it whatsoever. You can even zip a little text file and get it down pretty small. It doesn't take long, really, to send about 10K, and you can have a lot of text data in a 10K file. KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net.
Aries Net.
All right, I realize that this may not be something that everybody's interested in, and I'm not saying that everybody has to go out and get RMS Express and Windlink set up and going. It's not a requirement at all. But the more people we have that use it, the better off you're going to be. You're not going to use it for chasing DX from Europe or some DX expedition or something like that. You're not going to be doing that. But it gives you an alternative communications method when, you know, you've got problems with internet access. One of the things that you can do with RMS Express also is if you do have internet access, you can still function as an amateur radio operator, even though you have net, using RMS Express, because it does do a TCP/IP connection if you select that method. You still draft the message the same way, but you can send it, you know, through the internet. If you got it, that's the way to go, because it's going to be quicker, okay? But if you have a radio link, you can do that. The last thing I wanted to mention on this, and then we're going to call it a day and go for comments, is you can do peer-to-peer connections as well. And there will be cases where you might want to do that. So I'm going to go back to our training net, not our training net, but the exercise that we did with Argyle back in June. There was a lot of traffic for the hospitals. Had the stations at the incident site and the hospitals had Windlink, they could connect directly to each other instead of, hey, Net Control, I've got this. Or they could have sent it to through a gateway to the hospital. But you can do peer-to-peer. It's not something that just has to go through the internet. Refresher on costs. You do have to be on a Windows platform. So I think majority of you guys are. Or you know how to get there. Radio to do it. It can be done on a handy talkie. It can be done on a mobile rig. You also need some form of a TNC. Your expenditures would be on radio, antenna, and a TNC. But, again, you can do a TNCX or a Tiny Track 4 for less than, well, about $50, okay? Roughly that. It's not the big outlay that we used to have years ago. If you are interested in doing it on HF, Signal Link, or a Rig Blaster, you've got to let that control the timing. Otherwise, you'll never be able to do a successful connection, okay? But HF is there for those of you with a general or an extra class ticket. Well, even the advanced class. That ends tonight's training. As we go through comments, feel free to ask me any questions that you have about it. But at this point in time, do I have any additional stations wishing to check in at this time? This will be the last call for tonight. This is KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net.
N5IKD, Robert.
N5IKD, thank you very much, Robert, for checking in tonight. Okay. KC5MPX, good evening, Lynn. Questions or comments for the net tonight?
Guy, I just wanted to mention that the Louisville node on the Windlink node that was up at the hospital will be coming back online soon. We're working on getting the TNC program and getting it back on. Really enjoyed the net. Gave me a lot more information about Windlink than I did know. Been interested in finding out. Thank you. That's all I have back to net. KC5 MPX.
Thank you for checking into the net tonight, Lynn, and that is good news. I've got to get mine back online, but I was using mine more as if it was an offline scenario. KE5MZT, good evening, Sarah Ann. Your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Good evening. I am really glad you
reviewed this. I do have RMS Express, but I haven't used it in a long time. And I'm sorry I'm in and out of town a whole lot right now, but would love to get back on. Okay, this is KE5MDT.
Sarah Ann, you remember that cable that I built for your 92AD?
Affirmative.
I intentionally built that cable out that if you ever went out and got a KPC3 or one of the TNCXs, you can plug it into the TNC and do that so that cable is both sound card and has the ability to talk to a KPC3 or something mimicking the KPC3 port, I should say.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm anticipating some time, either the end of this year or first of next year, where I'm actually going to have some time to look in and try to upgrade my license, too. So this is KE5MZT. Out.
I appreciate the check-in tonight, Sarah Ann. Have a good evening. KG5 Hotel Kilo. Good evening. Your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Guy, thanks for another great net. A lot of information. I'm going to check in on that tiny track 4 and see what maybe pick that up for and maybe get you guys to kind of get something set. But it sounds like a pretty interesting concept there. It'd be kind of fun to use, I think. Kilo Golf 5, Hotel Kilo.
Well, appreciate checking in the net tonight. Bionics.com, in case you don't have the URL, and that's for everybody. Bionics.com. Look up TinyTrack 4. You'll find Brian Garibrandt's website on that. Thanks for the check-in tonight. Okay, this next call sign, I've got it as a Kilo Golf and a Kilo Charlie. I know I heard the Kilo Golf more clearly, so if you would stand by. Was there a station as Kilo Charlie 5, India Bravo November? Okay, then that must have been Kilo Golf 5, India Bravo November.
Good evening, guys. This is KG5IBN, and I've got no questions or comments for the net. Back to you guys. Have a good night, KG5IBN.
Well, appreciate you checking in tonight. KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. All righty, KC0L. Good evening, John. Your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Good evening, Guy, and everybody on the net. No questions, comments. I'm glad you're taking care of this. The digital modes are quite powerful, and make sure you get the information across correctly. Not my area of expertise, so I just thought I'd tune in and see if I could keep up with the conversation. And so thanks, Guy. Appreciate that. Have a great evening. KC5GOI. KC0L73.
Thank you for checking in tonight, John, and we'll get you there one of these days. Kilo Golf 5, Bravo Zulu India. Questions or comments for the net tonight?
Good evening, guys, and everybody on the net. I just want to say thanks for having a good topic out there. It's always interesting and very educational, and that's all I have. This is KG5, BZI, back to net control.
Appreciate you checking in the net tonight, and I'm dodging a bullet here. My computer decided, hey, I want to reboot for updates, so I just had to tell it, oh, no, you don't. All righty, KG5, Delta India Mike. Good evening, Tyler. Your questions and comments.
This is KG5DIM. Good evening to everyone on the net, and I have no questions or comments at this time. KG5DIM, back to net control.
Alrighty, appreciate Tyler checking in tonight. Have a good evening. AF5RZ, good evening, Andrew. Your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Aries Net.
Good evening, Guy, and everyone else. Very interesting topic. I was just going through the Aries, task list book thing. Decided to dip my toe in this just a couple of days ago, actually, and it's surprisingly easy to set up with a Windows 10 machine. small bit of software called Sound Modem and RMS Express, and I was up and running in almost no time. There's a PDF document online giving you step-by-step instructions how to set it up using the SoundCard TNC. So I'm using my Windows 10 work laptop, a little adapter to go from a 4-pin to a 3-pin stereo ports, and I was up and running. So great topic. Glad I'm finally understanding it better. AM5RZ.
And guys, to tell you how easy it was, I was a little late getting to my email, but Andrew had sent me messages to from his RMS Express account, his Winlink account, yesterday, and we went through the exchange to verify that he had everything working. So thank you for trying that out, Andrew, and next year we'll be using it in one of our, we'll make sure to use it in one of our simulations. So thanks again. KG5 Kilo Alpha Juliet, good evening. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. Well, thank you for the check-in, and hope you have a good evening. KB6VXK, good evening, Doug. Your questions and comments.
Try it again. WB6VXK here. This is Doug. And the only comment I've got is during your talk, which was very interesting, I Googled Winlink, and I noticed that they are now calling... It says Winlink Express, formerly RMS Express, so I don't know if they've changed the name of RMS Express or whether it's still usable or what, but just thought I'd run that by you. WB6VXK.
Well, I haven't been to the website in a couple of days, so that, well, probably a couple of weeks, so that kind of doesn't surprise me. I've seen some name changes over the years. You still see the Winlink 2000 floating around up there, too, so... One of these days, I will get the call sign 100% correct. I was worried about screwing up the suffix tonight. So thanks for checking in, Doug. W5, Mike, Charlie, November. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. W5, Mike, Charlie, November. Last call.
W5MTN. Sorry about that, guy. One quick question, because I know you know the answer since you have a rig like mine. On the IC7100, since it has a built-in sound card, I currently run Ham Radio Deluxe for the digital modes I have now, but if I wanted to do the Winlink stuff, am I right that all I would need would be the Winlink program?
You got it. The 7100 and the 7200, I have both. Use the same ICOM driver. So you would tell it the serial port number that you're using to connect to the rig. I have to go back and see, but I suspect the 7100's in there by now. But yeah, you'd go through there, you'd select the radio, you tell it the COM port, you tell it the speed, and you're done.
Great. Okay, I'm going to look into that and add that to my... Microsoft Surface that I use here in the truck, and we'll get it all set up and holler at you when we're ready to test it out. Anyway, appreciate you running the net tonight. Good information, and have a great night. W5MCN, back to net.
Okay, I do need to add one item to that. That will get you on RMS Express. I'm sorry, on Winlink on HF. If you want to do packet radio, you still got to have some form of a TNC. Does that make sense?
So I would have to have either a tiny track or something like that to do the TNC for UHF, VHF stuff, correct?
You got it. The one thing I haven't tested, and there's no reason why it wouldn't work, is to use it, the sound card capability in the 7100 over a VHF, UHF frequency. There's no reason why it wouldn't work. I just haven't had a reason to do it. But to get the faster speeds on 10 meters, 6 meters, VHF, high band, UHF, yeah, you need a TNC.
Okay, no problem. I appreciate that. And like I said, that's something I'll be looking into. Thank you much. W5NCM, back to you.
You're welcome. W5, Golf Whiskey Alpha. Good evening, Gordon. Your questions or comments?
Thank you, Guy, for running the net. Definitely good information and very timely for me, especially around the VHF side. I have RMS Express or Winlink running on HF using a signal link to my ASU 450D, and that's worked well. I've been trying to get VHF up, so this was very timely for me as well. My only question tonight is if you have any experience or thoughts on another TNC called MobiLink D, all one word, MobiLink D. And it looks pretty good, and it's sort of in that same price range. And I've been kind of looking at that and thinking about that. So any comments on that would be helpful. Otherwise, thanks again. W5GWA, back to net.
Richard, I haven't heard of the MobiLink D, but I'll take a look at it. As long as it presents itself as some form of a TNC that RMS Express can work with, and it might be in the drop-down list of available TNCs now, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. So it's definitely worth taking a look at. You might do a Google search for RMS Express and MobiLink D and see what others have already done. So I suspect it's been taken care of already.
I believe it represents itself as a KISS type modem, so I believe that would work. Thanks again. W5GWA clear.
Oh, yeah. If it's using KISS protocol, yeah, you're good. Not a problem there. So, cool. Another option. Thank you very much, Gordon. Have a good evening. KF5 Sierra Yankee Whiskey. Good evening. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. I'm hoping I got the call sign right. I'm looking for KF5SYW, name of Paul. Okay, station not heard. KF5KBN, good evening. Scott, do you have any questions or comments for the net tonight? Well, sorry to say this, Scott. It kind of sounds like you're in Wyoming. You're really, really noisy. I'll have the audio uploaded to the website later this evening. If you look around minute 52, 30 seconds, you can hear what your audio sounds like. But I'll have that posted later tonight. I suspect Mike will have it available tomorrow. But I'd say you're about 40, 50% white noise. It's almost like the polarity's wrong, but upside down wouldn't necessarily do that unless your radiation angle's just really high, which in this case is upside down.
Thank you for the report. I was surprised I could even get across the street. I just happened to look before the net and saw it upside down. Well, I don't have time to fix it, so I'll try.
Okie doke. Well, like I said, around 52 minutes and 30 seconds, you can hear what your audio sounded like just for reference. So appreciate you checking in the net tonight. KG5 Kilo Alpha Victor. Good evening. Your questions and comments.
Aries Net.
KG5 KAV. Nothing for the net tonight. Guy, thanks for a great training session.
Thank you for checking in the net tonight. Have a good evening. This is KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. K5WXR, good evening, Lee. Your questions or comments?
Good evening, Guy. Good evening, everyone. I have two items, a question and perhaps a suggestion. When you talk about Winlink or having packet capability, I'm assuming that you're talking about mobile or portable capability, or I'd like you, if you could confirm what exactly type of capability you're referring to. You know, I have it in a base station, and I have had it in the past in a suitcase fashion, you know, in a go kit, but it would have to be set up, you know, in a like a base station wherever I go. But are you referring to mobile or some sort of portable carry-around where you're actually carrying a CNC and a laptop or iPad or something that you can write and type with a portable WinLink station. And I have one comment after that, but I'd like to hear this one first.
Lee, we are talking about a portable station to take out in the field. So it would be, you could suitcase it, ammo box it, briefcase it, something like that. That's exactly what we're talking about. You can run them from a home station that has value as well. But when we're out, say like we were at the Argyle High School back at the end of June, we're talking about something portable that you would use from there or portable from the hospital. Not all the hospitals set up back in the early 2000s to do anything like this. So the operator is going to need a form of a computer, whether it's a laptop or a tablet, a TNC, a radio, and a decent antenna to operate as a portable station.
Thank you. Thank you for that confirmation. I appreciate it. The other is sort of a suggestion. You talked about WordPad versus Notepad and other things. I just wanted to clarify, when you talk about WordPad, are you talking about RTF files, which personally I don't recommend. They can be really big. Or are you talking about using WordPad and saving it as a text file? Or perhaps we should just focus on Notepad, which would automatically save as a text file.
Well, you're going to need to use WordPad for DOC files when somebody uses an ICS 213 template that actually represents borders, like a border on a Word document. You have to use WordPad with a DOC file. WordPad does not explode RTF documents. RTF documents maintain some form of formatting, but where possible, you really need to be using a text file because it gets the file sizes down. Whether it's a DOC file that's been used in WordPad or an RTF file, there's still formatting information in it. Where a text file, where it's very flat, does not have that formatting information. But the thing you have to balance is the agency that you're serving. What are their expectations? If they want you to use the DOC file, you're really better off using WordPad. If you're forced to use Word for lack of anything better, or even Libre or OpenOffice Writer, make absolutely sure you zip that file up. 7-Zip is a free utility that you can use because, you know, WinZip now, it's limited in what it can do because it's now, you know, you buy it. But 7-Zip is still an open source project that just recently updated. But no matter what the file type you use, I strongly recommend zipping it to get the file sizes down even more.
Thank you very much, Guy. I appreciate the clarification. This is K5WXR.
You're welcome, Lee, and I hope you have a good evening. K8 Juliet Romeo Bravo. That's a new call sign for me. Welcome to the Aries Training Net in Denton County. Your questions and comments. Okay, do I have a station that can relay for me? The bulk of that was noise. The only thing I heard that I can say definitively was training, and I think it was Yaesu Fusion. Do I have a relay or K8JBR? Were you asking about training for Fusion? Okay, if that was in reference to Yaesu Fusion, I don't have any immediate plans to do Aries training on that. Reason being is we've got a high level of D-Star users in this area, and the last time I talked about doing D-Star training, I didn't get any responses, and I know Fusion doesn't have the level of operators in the area that D-Star has yet. I do know that more and more operators are getting more and more involved in using Yaesu Fusion. I do own an FT400DR myself, and that's what I use in my Suburban. Right now, I don't have any plans to do anything specific for Fusion. Does that answer your question?
Packet radio specific.
Okay, we can go into some more detail if we have enough interest to do more packet radio specific stuff, but it's going to lean heavily on RMS Express over VHF.
Either way, I'm learning it as I go. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, and if you're going to be in the area when we do that training, you're more than welcome to be invited. These training nets aren't specifically limited, or even the in-house training, it's not limited to just Aries members. Anybody that is interested can show up. We're all about expanding on the knowledge base. So thank you for checking in the net tonight. Last station on the list tonight is N5IKD. Good evening, Robert. Your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I can say that we will be doing some MBEMS training and probably include some the WinLink VHF training in that, probably starting sometime in August, as Guy mentioned earlier. I also want to mention there is another solution if you don't have a TNC, a software solution that I've used in the past. It's called AGW Packet Engine, and I've used it successfully for a while, and then after some Windows upgrades, I was not able to get it to work consistently, so I ended up getting a TNCX, which is just a little bit more expensive than the software, so... it seemed to work better, especially for mobile use. If somebody wants to play with that, that's another possibility, AGW Packet Engine, N5IKD.
Okay, I appreciate you checking into the net tonight, Robert, and thank you for the comments. Guys, I normally do one more round of check-ins at the last minute, but I really want to get in front of the TV for what's going on this week. Don't want to be missing anything out. So I'm going to cut the net off at this point in time. We're an hour and 5 minutes into it. I do appreciate everybody checking in tonight. I'm going to get this audio uploaded probably now tomorrow night late. So be looking for that audio probably over the weekend. Just a reminder, I'm looking to see who all is interested for going with me to Chickasaw National Recreation Area on the 30th of July. That is a week from this coming Saturday. This is going to be a National Parks on the Air activation. I really need to know how many people we're talking about before Wednesday. If there's enough people, I may have to apply for a permit with the Park Service. If it's not too many people, then we don't have to worry about it. But it was, you know, the Park Service said, hey, let us know how many, and we may have to do a permit, maybe not. If you do not have a general class or higher license, you can still join us for the fun. So if you're interested in doing some portable HF work in a pseudo contest sort of environment, contact me. I'm looking at leaving Denton around 10 o'clock on the 30th to get to Chickasaw, and we will operate from the park. There's a ton of room from a radio environment standpoint. It's beautifully quiet. There's hardly anything on the noise floor. So please reach out and email me at kc5goi at kc5goi.net about the National Parks on the Air NPOTA activation on the 30th of July. The next time I go is going to be in September, and it's going to be a long drive to the Panhandle. With that, I appreciate everybody checking in the net tonight. And at this point in time, I'm going to return the repeater to normal use.